All right, so today we're diving into something a little different.
Different how?
Well, let's just say it's a topic that some might find a bit more, well, bedroom than boardroom.
Okay, you've got my attention. Go on.
We're taking a deep dive into how to blow his mind, a guide to giving an unforgettable blowjob.
Whoa, okay, straight to the point then. And the source material for this deep dive.
It's a real book by, get this, The Mindful Modern Mistress. You can find it online, even at Barnes and Noble.
Wow, so this isn't some like underground pamphlet, it's mainstream.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so fascinating. We're not just talking about the act itself, but all the expectations, the assumptions that come with a guide like this.
So, what's the mission here? Are we trying to learn how to give a mindful blowjob?
Not exactly. Think of it more like dissecting a cultural artifact. What's the advice being given? What does it tell us about our society's views on sex, on gender roles, on pleasure?
Okay, I'm intrigued. Where do we even start with something like this?
Well, one of the first things that jumped out at me was how much it goes beyond the mechanics.
You mean there's more to it than just the act itself?
Way more. Don't get me wrong, the book covers technique, but there's this surprising emphasis on things like enthusiasm, communication, even practicing with a recorder.
Hold on, a recorder, like the musical instrument?
Yep, the author actually suggests practicing with a recorder to improve, breath control, stamina, that kind of thing.
Really? I've never heard that one before. That's a new one. Is that common in these kinds of guides?
That's what I'm wondering. And it makes you think, is she onto something here? Is there a connection between, say, playing a wind instrument and,
And giving good head.
I was going to say, and being more aware of your own body, your breath, your.
Right, your technique. Okay, I see where you're going with this. It's like she's trying to elevate it, make it more than just a physical act.
Exactly. And that could be seen as empowering in a way. Like taking something that's often seen as purely physical, even kind of taboo, and framing it as something you practice, you perfect.
Like an art form, almost.
Yes. But then it also makes you wonder, is there pressure to be good at it?
Oh, absolutely. And good for whom? Is it about mutual pleasure, or is there this underlying power dynamic at play?
Right. Like, is it about meeting some kind of standard, a performance almost? And speaking of physicality, the book gets surprisingly detailed in that department too.
How so?
Well, there are tongue exercises, specific instructions on how to use certain muscles.
Wow, it's like she's approaching it from an athletic standpoint.
It's a little jarring, honestly.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you've got this emphasis on mindfulness and communication, but on the other, it's like, okay, now clench those pelvic floor muscles.
It's a fascinating contradiction. Like, are we trying to maximize pleasure, or are we subtly reinforcing this idea that a woman's worth in this context is tied to her ability to, well, perform these acts to a certain standard?
It's a lot to unpack, and we're just getting started. And speaking of unpacking, this guide doesn't shy away from some potentially sensitive topics either.
Like what?
Well, for example, there's an entire section on dealing with the gag reflex. She even offers desensitization techniques, which, are usually reserved for very, very different activities.
That's interesting. You've got this guide that's advocating for mindfulness, for communication, and yet it's also suggesting that something as visceral and involuntary as the gag reflex is something to be controlled, overcome, almost like an obstacle to unforgettable pleasure.
Right. It's almost like there's this unspoken expectation for the reader to push past their own comfort, their own natural responses in service of the male partner's experience.
Exactly. And that brings us to another layer of this very complex onion, the guide's attempts at inclusivity. The author does acknowledge that not all bodies and desires are the same. For instance, she differentiates between circumcised and uncircumcised men, even touches on preferences around teeth. But is that enough to call it truly inclusive?
It's a good question, because on the one hand, acknowledging those differences, even briefly, is a step in the right direction. But you're right, it still very much operates within this heteronormative framework.
Right.
It's all about pleasuring him, which
Yeah.
brings us back to that question, whose pleasure are we prioritizing here?
Yeah, and it's like even with these nods to different preferences, the guide still kind of reinforces the very binary it's trying to move beyond. It's
Yeah,
like, okay,
yeah.
sure, not all men are the same, BUT.
But the underlying assumption is still this woman pleasuring a man kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that actually brings us to another interesting point, the language used in the guide.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, she uses some pretty, let's say, direct language, even a bit crude at times.
You mean an example?
Well, for instance, she uses the phrase shooting his load.
Oh, eh?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because some people might find that empowering, while others might find it a little, objectifying.
Right. It's like walking this tightrope between being frank, sex positive, but also navigating all these deeply ingrained power dynamics.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, can you even talk about this topic without bumping into those societal expectations?
It's a really good question, and it reflects this bigger debate happening around language and sexuality in general, right? Like, on the one hand, there's this push for more sensitive language, more inclusive language. But then on the other hand, there's this argument that being overly cautious, overly euphemistic, can actually hinder open communication about pleasure.
Like, when does being real become, potentially harmful or insensitive?
Right. Exactly.
So where does that leave our mindful modern mistress? Does the guide ultimately live up to its mindful branding?
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? You see these genuinely progressive elements, like the emphasis on consent, on knowing your own body and your limits, and encouraging open communication with your partner.
Right, like actually talking to the person you're with.
Exactly. And those are things often missing from similar guides, especially the older ones.
It's true. She does repeatedly stress the importance of talking to your partner, figuring out what you both enjoy.
Right. You don't always see that.
No, not at all. So you have this refreshing emphasis on mutual pleasure, on respect and communication.
Yeah. And then you turn the page and you've got this whole section on, advanced techniques and practices that seem kind of geared towards,
pleasing the man.
Yeah. Even if it means pushing past your own comfort levels,
Right. So it's like this weird tension throughout the book.
Totally.
Like she's trying to modernize this whole genre, make it more relevant for, a generation that values communication and consent.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, there are these remnants of older, more traditional expectations about, what a woman should be doing, how she should be acting in these situations.
Yeah, it's almost like a reflection of where we're at as a society, right? Like those power imbalances haven't magically disappeared overnight.
Totally. And maybe that's what makes this guide so fascinating to unpack. It's messy, it's contradictory.
That's real.
Exactly. So before we get too lost in the weeds of gender studies, let's zoom out for a second. Expert speaker, for you, what's the most surprising or thought-provoking element of this whole thing? It really makes you think, huh? Like, on the one hand, we're talking about recorders and mindfulness, and then bam, overcoming the gag reflex.
Yeah, it's a trip. For me, that's what's most thought-provoking about this whole thing, that contradiction.
Make up your mind.
I mean, she clearly wants to empower women, encourage them to own their pleasure, But at the same time, there's this message of push past your limits, do it for him.
Yeah.
It's like she's trying to bridge this gap between self-love and self-erasure.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, can you really have both? Can you advocate for a woman's pleasure while simultaneously telling her to basically ignore her own discomfort?
Exactly. And I think that's why this guide is so fascinating to break down,
Yeah.
It's like this perfect example of the larger conversation we're having about sex, about power, about all this baggage around women's pleasure. It's messy, it's complicated.
And there are no easy answers.
Nope.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the surprisingly complex world of How to Blow His Mind, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from this?
I think the biggest takeaway is that nothing is as straightforward as it seems. Even a how-to guide is full of these cultural assumptions and complexities.
That's a good point.
So next time you read any kind of advice, don't just take it at face value. Question it. Think critically about where it's coming from and how it lines up with your own experiences.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So to our amazing listeners, go forth, question everything, and maybe, invest in a recorder. You never know.
You never know.
Until next time, happy diving, everyone.